here we are, middle of the week, Wednesday, January the 29th, 2020. 1:29:20, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride for the next 2 hours. And we have got a guest live in the studio this morning. That's going to be a lot of fun. First time visitor to the program, so it's really going to be a lot of fun. Want to do a little bit of housekeeping, though, before we get into this. Don't forget, Charlie Evers will follow this program today. As soon as we go off the air, 10 minutes after we're done, Charlie will be in, and I believe his guest today will be George Kosotis. That always goes over big. A lot of Marian history, a lot of fun to talk about. So Charlie and George for 2 weeks in a row. This will be the second week, which always is a lot of fun, this morning, 10 to 12 noon. And then Glenn Coble will be on following that program today with A Progressive Life, 12:10 till 1 o'clock. And then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 to 7 p.m. tonight. Don't miss any of that programming. And, of course, we have our Bicentennial Moment, our daily Bicentennial Moments. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I just ate breakfast, and I'll tell you more about that in a second. So something could, you know, what's the proper word to use for that? Like a burp. I might burp, so if I burp, although my throat is fixed from yesterday, the hairball has either been coughed up, or if my sinuses were draining, they are they're not draining anymore at this particular point, but if you hear a burp, you know that's what the reason is. The Bicentennial Moment, Wednesday, January 29th, 2020. Several of the Marion County's communities and villages once had different names than the current ones. Occasionally, names differed for the village, post office, and rail station. Among the changes are Caledonia, which was originally called Van Bursick. Bursick? That could be Van Bursick. Clarendon, which was called Allendale, and Wheaton, Green Camp, Berwick, which is the restaurant over there now. Kirkpatrick was Lee Timberville. Martell was Three Locust. Meeker, Scottstown, and Coshocton. New Bloomington, Augusta, and Belfast. And Prospect was Middletown. So there you go. That's today's Bicentennial Moment here on WWGH Radio. Now, we'll get to the big show. Oh, I also want to mention, last night I did see, longtime Marion radio personality Jeff Ruth, who stops by and visits us. He retired from WMRN back in June of last year, but Charlie's been friends with Jeff for a long time, worked with him. I worked with Jeff when I was at MRN for a long time. We've all remained friends, and I saw Jeff at the grocery store last night, and he will be in Friday. He is back from, where did he say he was at? Boy, just went out of my head. But Jeff was on one of his trips. I'm sure he'll tell us about it on Friday when he's in. But he's going to be with us for the whole day, 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. with Charlie and I on Friday. So he'll be on my show from 8 to 10, Charlie from 10 to 12, and then he'll join the Exchange Club from 12 to 1 on Friday. So look forward to Jeff Ruth on Friday, back on the air here in Marion for a five-hour shift. We never get away. Broadcasters just cling to the mic. Now, we get to the main event today on the program, first-time visitor to the program, and this is going to be interesting because what's going to happen here is for the first hour, we're going to have a conversation and get to the bottom of some of the things that need to be getting to the bottom of, because I believe there's been some, not truthful things said over the past few weeks. So it's face-to-face today because she is in the studio. And then the second hour, we're going to learn about her and her life and go a little more in-depth and talk about some serious stuff. So you want to stay tuned for that. But the first hour, as I said, it's going to be clearing up her and I's problems. Like a therapy session here right on the air. But she did bring me breakfast this morning. She did bring sausage and eggs and a Diet Coke from McDonald's. So I will say that so far we're on good terms this morning. And I'll turn her microphone on here. She is a... Now, you're not a Marianite, are you? Because you have roots in Kentucky.
I never lived there. I do have roots there. But I
didn't have your mic on, but you're good now.
Well, thanks. That's a welcome way to...
You sound good.
Invite me to the show. Yeah, no, I am from Marion. I grew up here. I never lived in Kentucky, as I tried to tell you before.
I looked away.
He's not paying attention to
me
already this morning.
Tell me what you said.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead.
I never lived in Kentucky. I told you this. I don't have...
Oh, you never lived in Kentucky.
No. I'm from Marion. I grew up here.
So you are a Marionite.
I'm a Marionite. 100%.
Okay. But you have Kentucky roots.
My grandparents came from there. My mom, I don't even think she ever lived there. She was born here, too. So, I mean, roots are there. Roots.
Roots. That's how they say it in Kentucky. They say roots.
You go to Kentucky a lot? You hear them?
When I'm down in Kentucky, I hear them say roots.
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 Okay.
The roots of Kentucky.
I'll be there this summer again. I'll just kind of...
I bet you will.
Feel it out. I'll listen. We go. Yeah. We do.
What do you do when you're there?
We usually go for a reunion. I mean, they're like extended family. My grandfather's like brothers, you know, there was like, I don't know, 9 of them or something. So they all have all their kids and we all get together.
Big family.
Big family. Yes.
Did I say your name? I don't think I did.
If you did, my mic wasn't on or you probably didn't say it right or something.
You know, that's not very nice.
Well, you had me talking into a non-mic.
No, you were on. It just took me a minute to get there. Already being a little off-center this morning. Most people don't come in this off-center in the morning.
I know. You challenged me, though. You said you're going to be nervous, and you're probably going to clam up, and you won't know what to say.
You were nervous.
For like a split second.
It was longer than a second.
Was it?
Yeah, because we sat here, and I could tell you were getting nervous. And then when I said, okay, we're getting ready to go, here comes the theme.
I did. I said, oh, I'm nervous.
I'm nervous, yeah.
But I mean, I wasn't like so nervous that I clammed up.
No, you didn't clam up, which is good. When the guests clam up, that's a bad thing.
Had a quick panic.
A quick panic.
Yeah.
Causes a quick panic.
Right.
Abby Croman is the guest today. And she's been talked to. I guess you have called in a couple times, haven't you?
I have, twice, yes. I had to defend myself.
Well, yeah, because of the whole sausage gravy incident.
Right.
But now we're past that.
We are.
We're past that. And now we're on to what are you going to make me that I will like that's edible, that you can show me your home cooking abilities. And then... I'll be able to come on and say something nice.
Right. Well, I mean, to be clear, everything that I make is edible, right?
I can't speak to that. I really can't. I would like to be able to say yes, but at this point, I really can't tell you that.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what. I don't know what you like. You say lasagna. I'm probably not good at lasagna.
I like lasagna, but I don't like ricotta cheese.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Gross.
Oh, a commonality.
Imagine.
We found common ground.
There's something.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I don't know what I make. Like I've offered you a couple things yesterday. Like chicken noodles are good. Or I don't know. I don't know what you.
Am
like.
I ill? I mean, chicken noodles are like for ill people.
Well, it's kind of a winter thing. Maybe you're ill. Maybe that would help your throat tickle.
It's fixed. So whatever happened yesterday, I don't know what it was. It's gone today.
I appreciate that it might have been a hairball.
It might have been a hairball. I might have coughed really hard last night and it came up and now I'm okay.
That was good.
And now you're an avid listener to this program.
I'm hooked.
Once you're in, you're in.
I don't know why I didn't listen before. Like all these months that I've known you, you know, the
rudeness.
The post Scott era of my life. Current Scott era.
Do you even remember the time before I was in your life? I mean, how can you at this point?
I don't. It must have been so dull.
Oh. Dull isn't the word for it. No, let's get into this because I think this is highly important.
Okay.
First of all, we're going to come back to this, so be thinking about some food that you can cook.
Okay.
That'll be worthwhile. But what I'm going to say...
The abuse.
No, that's not abusive. That's just honest and frank and, you know,
right.
Fair. Two things we have on the table at this point because you said this. We're besties now. Now, see, I only bring this up because you say I'm abusive. And the truth of the matter is, you would not be abusive to a bestie, and right. We became, because that's what the kids say now, right, bestie?
I don't know. Maybe bestie?
It used to be called best friend, or, you know, like a friend, a good friend, but now they all say bestie.
Like, I think the girls say that. Maybe it's like teenage girls have besties?
Really? No, I've heard old people say that.
Really?
And you would fit
old
into
people?
That group. You'd
I'm
fit
not
in.
Old.
You'd fit in. So, yeah, I've heard old people say bestie.
Okay. We'll go with bestie.
Okay, so we're besties now.
We are.
Because you delivered a drink, and now you've brought breakfast and the whole bit.
I didn't know that breakfast was an option, though. You pretty much said, you'll go on the radio, and you'll bring me breakfast.
That's a good bestie, not leaving any ambiguity. Don't
You're
you
very
think?
Clear. You're very clear.
But you followed
on your
the meeting. Orders very well.
I did, because if somebody asks something of me, I'm nice, like I like to do that. I don't know if it was a question, though. Here he is wiggling his hand at me. Kind of nice? Is that what that means? I'm kind
well,
of nice?
I don't know that you always do that. When I say something to you, you don't always, like, run out and do it.
Well, not immediately, but, like, this has been coming for a few days. So we've known this is going to happen, so I can prepare myself for bringing you the McDonald's.
Like the Christmas party?
The Christmas party. Holiday party that is still happening.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
I struggle with your idea of a party, though, because it just entails me buying you more stuff, more food.
Well, that's really a party.
More food and drinks.
You can't say that's a party?
No.
I feel anytime anybody takes me out and buys me food and drink, that is a party in and of itself.
That's kind of the description of a date.
No, that's not a date.
Kind of.
This is a good thing, because we were having a conversation before we went on the air this morning about relationships.
Right.
And we were also talking about, and I think this is a good conversation to have between a male and a female, because you rarely get this. Mm-hmm. It's perspective,
that's
right?
True, right.
Okay.
Right.
So you say that that's a relationship, but if it's the girl buying the food, mm-hmm. is that a relationship? Because that used to be like a forbidden type of thing that the man always had to buy.
I don't believe that. I've never really gone that route. I mean...
Oh, you buy everything?
No. I don't buy everything, but I mean, I definitely will take turns, or like, you got it this time, I'll get it next. Like, I've never had to have like someone always buy stuff.
So you don't follow that moray of the man always buys?
Definitely not. Definitely
but
not.
What? But do they try to buy all the time?
Yeah, sometimes, or like I'll just make it known.
You wouldn't have that problem with me. I wouldn't even reach for the check.
You would 100%. Just
I would.
Say
my hands
it.
Would be on the booth or whatever.
Are you the guy who's always like, "Oh, I forgot my wallet"?
I do forget my wallet a lot. Now I keep my driver's license in the car just in case I'm pulled over, but I do forget the wallet a lot. But I don't know that that's me trying to beat the check. I think that's just me, because I believe that women should be able to do what they want to do, and if they want to pay for the check, hey, who am I to fight with them?
I don't disagree. I mean, and sometimes, you know, it's like, I think it's just a appreciation thing. I appreciate you too. I can buy dinner. Like,
so why are you having such trouble then buying me dinner on this holiday event?
Well, you're not like my date.
Okay.
So, like, I would buy you dinner if you were, like, my date, but you're not my date. We're just, like...
So you only do it when there's an expectation.
Co-workers.
Of something.
No. No, that's,
well, that's
not
what
it
sounded like.
Well, I'm sorry if it came out that way.
Because you said you would only do it if it was a date.
Not only, but, like, we're just going out for a holiday party. I mean, usually on your holiday parties, does somebody buy you dinner and drinks?
This one, yeah.
Just this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're going to order, like,
whatever's... I'm just looking at price.
And, like, all, you're right.
Yeah.
The most expensive thing, like, whatever says, like, seasonal pricing on the menu or something,
uh-huh.
you're going to buy that one.
See, my favorite meal is free. That's all there is to it.
What's that? Oh,
just
whatever
free.
Meal.
Whatever. Whatever's free. Yeah, right. Whatever I can get for free.
Maybe we can split an appetizer or something.
Split an appetizer?
Yeah.
What do you like for an appetizer?
I don't really know. I mean, where are we going?
Mozzarella sticks?
Mozzarella sticks are okay.
Okay, I could
potato
do that.
Potato skins, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, there you are again.
Is that weird?
Back to your Kentucky roots.
Oh, jeez. Why are potato skins Kentucky roots?
I don't know. I'm just not a big...
It's like I'm asking for, like, biscuits and grits or something.
See, you about said biscuits and gravy, because
no,
you know that is Kentucky through and through.
No. It's really not. I mean, what... Biscuits and gravy? It's really,
yeah.
It's probably an anywhere thing.
Not for me.
Right.
Not for me.
We know you don't like it.
No.
But I still win because you tried it.
See, now this is the other big issue.
That's a win.
This is and I did not realize fully how highly competitive you were till yesterday.
Well, I didn't realize other people thought that I was competitive until one of our coworkers yesterday even looked when you said something about me being competitive. She was like, oh, not Abby.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought that, like, you knew it and you pointed it out, but I, you know, she even said something about it yesterday. So I thought, wow.
You are competitive. Because here's what happened. Yesterday we were playing a game. What was it called? Mindbender?
Cubits.
Was that what it was called?
It was a mindbender game. Yes.
Mindbender
game. Kind of like a pattern thing.
So this is really the first time that I can ever remember that you and I were really... I didn't even think we were competing when it started.
I didn't either, and you were the one who said, ha, I got it first.
Well, you lost.
I didn't lose. I was helping other people get their, you know, pattern
together.
No, you
weren't.
I certainly was.
This is a lie. You're already lying. Don't lie on the radio.
Why did I lie about this?
Because we know this is true.
No. I was helping. I was kind of like watching what they were doing, and then Scott throws down the thing. He was like, there, I got it. I win. That was not what we were doing. You made
uh-huh.
the competition.
Whatever you say.
I know.
That's a lie, though.
But then who won the next three cards?
I mean, it is a rarity because I'm a kind... People know I'm Mr. Morning here. They know that I'm a nice... I don't think I've ever had to call somebody a flat-out liar on the air till this morning.
No, that was nothing about a flat-out lie. You made it a competition.
Okay, here's what happened.
I was just, like, doing my job and, like, helping and being kind and sweet like I am.
Our good friend, who I do think is listening, Michelle, the nice one. That's how I refer to her. The nice one.
The nice one and your bestie, because that wouldn't make me the mean one.
Oh, I think we're besties, Michelle and I. Sure. Why not?
No, I understand that. But, like, if she is the nice one, what does that make me?
Marginal.
Oh.
Yeah. But no, this is what happened yesterday.
I don't know if I've ever been called marginal.
Marginal. Well, why? I'm not gonna kiss your rear end. I mean, well, I gotta be honest here.
I've never asked you to kiss my rear end.
You wouldn't say rear end because you have
literally. I've never been like outwardly mean to anybody on purpose. Well, maybe that's not exactly true, but like,
wrong.
Not because they've asked for it. Like
they
nice
ask for it.
Yes.
Now hold on. Let's get back to the competitive thing.
Okay.
Because the truth of the matter is, we're getting a call. Thank goodness.
Oh no.
I'm sure this will be somebody on my side. I always like I put on the headphones. That's how radio.
I want you to be able to hear the call.
Put on the headphones.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Abby and Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning.
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Well, I'm doing okay, but the company's a little rough this morning.
He's so rude.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, a little rude this morning. So you've been listening this morning?
Yes.
So what do you think so far?
Very, very interesting show.
That's right.
So you guys are co-workers?
Like, have you chosen a side? Are you on my side?
I think well, you guys work together, correct?
We do.
Okay, so you guys have, like, compete to each other at school or something? Or I guess I'm trying to follow that.
We went beyond that at this point, because now there's going to be office parties. And,
okay.
Oh, yeah. And it's a bestie thing now.
Maybe we should ask you, do you think an office party always consists of, okay, for example, me just buying him dinner and drinks? Does that sound like a party to you?
No, that sounds greedy.
Right. That sounds like a high-maintenance coworker.
Yeah.
A high-maintenance coworker. That's what I am.
Slash bestie.
I'm a high-maintenance coworker.
With a lot of expectations.
Scott, you said the other girl was your bestie. How can you only can have one bestie?
You only one?
Well, I thought you only got one bestie. I thought you said that was the rule.
Right. Well, she's the nice one, apparently.
She is the nice one. So I have to say that she probably is a bestie. And yeah. And Abby is difficult because, like what she just said, you know, she called me a high maintenance coworker. After all this time, that's all I get. High maintenance coworker. A dig.
It was not a dig. I have these, like, if you want to be my bestie, you can bring me Diet Cokes and Butterfingers and, you know, buy my holiday dinners. This is what I have. I don't know if that's really a bestie type relationship.
Well, that's the best thing I can think of for our relationship.
It's probably the nicest title we can come up with.
Yes. I mean, but honest to goodness, what do you think she should cook me that I'm going to enjoy so I can come in and say, hey, that was good?
I don't know. You're very, very picky.
See? No. Oh, my goodness, yes.
No, no.
Yes,
there
picky,
are certain things
difficult,
I like.
Difficult, a little rude.
A little rude?
You eat salad all day long.
I like salads. Do you do a good salad?
Yeah. I'd make a mean salad.
Do you?
Sure.
Like grilled chicken, ranch dressing, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of lettuce.
I mean, I honestly do not think I could screw that up.
Well, if anybody could, I would have faith that you could.
I don't know how I could screw up a salad with chicken. I can do that. You eat a lot of salads? This is new to me.
Yeah.
Because before, when you wanted something to eat, you're like, I need something hot.
Well, the grilled chicken is hot. I need something hot. That's right. Well, man invented fire, and now all food has to be warm.
That's actually what he said as I was leaving. He was like, I don't know, find something hot. Like, what is that?
Find something hot.
I don't think that's what I said, first of all.
First of all, I could not make this up if I tried.
Now, another thing, because I want to get your take on this caller. Now, there's supposed to be a competition coming up, because I haven't even got into this yet. And I really, because she is a sore loser. Let me tell you,
I've never lost for Scott to know.
You lost yesterday.
The thing is, he's never seen me lose.
Yesterday.
I did not lose that. It wasn't even a competition until you slammed the car down. I was like, ha, I won.
I did. I beat her. It was
but
bad.
But we weren't playing. We weren't. He didn't ever tell me that we were in a competition. So I don't think that's a fair.
He didn't ever tell me. That's your Kentucky roots coming out there, isn't it?
Did that not come out right? You've got me so flustered. That's the problem.
Let me tell you the story, caller, so you can give me a valid opinion here on this competition. We had never competed in anything, and there was no preparation to compete in anything yesterday either. But this mind-bending game came out. Mm-hmm. And the first, you like put a card down, and then you have to make that pattern. And we just both happened to be starting at the same time. Actually, I started 10 minutes late, but
that is not even true. Oh, 10 minutes? The whole game lasted like two.
So I came over, and first one out, I got the pattern before anybody, and she got kind of angry about this. She got kind of like, man, now I'm ticked off at you.
But tell the real story, because you slammed the thing down. I don't know who had the card. No, you grabbed the card up. He picked the card up and like throws it down on the table and was like, ha, I win. I beat you.
I did. I did.
But we weren't even racing.
Well, it was no, it was competition.
Oh Lord.
So I won, and then we had like three more, and then she got really ultra competitive.
I killed it. I was like whipping these out in like, I mean, no time flat. Like I was really kind of a Cupid's genius yesterday.
It was like kindergarten patterns. And then we got to the final one, which was another difficult one, and I won again.
No, he had it all backwards, and he was like, how would you know if it's backwards? I'm like, because it's pointing the wrong way.
So the point is, she lost she lost yesterday. And so can you see the ultra competitiveness in her?
I think so what are you guys going to compete now? Like cooking or what? I don't understand.
No, we're not having a cooking contest. No, okay. I think on the table right now is bowling at some point, but I clearly know that she's ultra competitive now, so that's a whole other problem. Because I don't want her to like turn over the ball return at the bowling alley if she doesn't win.
But the thing is, I'm a very gracious loser. I have lost at things before. I can't really recall when or what that might have been, but I'm sure that I have, and I was really okay about it. See, it's nothing that's sticking out in my mind. So obviously I was like, I probably just shook the other person's hand and was like, okay, good game.
Uh-huh.
Nice playing with you.
Uh-huh.
This has been fun.
Uh-huh.
You're in a good sport.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I have to be an example to my kids. I have to let them know that it's okay, you know. Actually, it's really not okay to lose. That's not true.
But see, like, there it was. It's creeping in.
We try hard.
We try hard.
That's it.
That's the whole competitiveness there. It's not okay to lose.
I mean, it's not okay to just be complacent. Like, you have to at least, you know.
It's okay to lose, though, as long as you try.
As long as you try.
That's not what you said, though.
Well, I mean, you know.
I'm sorry, that's the truth.
It's definitely okay to lose. There's always we've been on the losing side. You know, my kids play sports. We are very active. I played sports growing up. I lost. Like I never like turned the table over and hulked out on anyone.
You were on the losing side yesterday.
But I wasn't, because you didn't tell me we were like competing. If it's a competition, you have to tell the other person, "All right, we're going to do this."
It was a game. What do you think was going on?
Well, I thought I was, like, doing my job.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Whatever. No, but the point is... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So both of you guys have to teach these kids how to do certain things in the class, right?
Well, yeah, and that's...
Well, so, but Scott was clearly not focusing on that. He was just like, how am I going to beat her? Like, so he
thought
he could,
like... That's
not true. Yeah, you thought you could just kind of, like, maneuver in, like, the back door without even helping the kids and be like, bam, and slam the cam door.
They were so happy when I beat you. I remember this.
They were rolling their eyes. They were like, what?
They said, look, Scott beat her.
Oh, goodness.
And did you slam the card down right in front of the kid?
Yes. He was like, booyah.
No. That's not what happened at all. I picked up the card and I said, look, I've won and you've lost.
Yeah. Great lesson, right?
Yeah, that was not a very good slamming the card down in front of the kid.
Well, you got to learn to lose. You got to learn to lose graciously.
And these poor kids just didn't stand a chance.
No.
When Scott and I got going, we were just like...
Right, it was unfortunate at that point. But the truth of the matter is that she just didn't know what she was doing. She lost, and now I feel bad because I think when we actually have a competition that apparently she knows is going on, right, that she's going to be violent when she loses because she clearly yesterday did not like losing.
Well, the bowling alley would be the wrong place for me to become violent.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The bowling alley would not be a good idea.
I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing. You'll have to stay tuned for that.
Yeah, but like, whose money would you bet on? Like, who, where would you put your money?
Yeah, watch yourself here.
Me or him,
who would you vote on?
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Tell the truth.
I have to. Well, I have to watch both of you guys first, then I'll have to do the second one because I don't know who. Because I haven't been in class with you guys. I don't know.
I'm better.
How you?
Don't worry. That's all you need to know. I'm better. I'm better.
It doesn't matter what, though. Apparently, he's better.
I'm just better in general.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like she could probably take you, Scott.
See, now you're turning on me.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, she sounds like she's a go-getter. I think she can take you.
Yes,
yeah,
see?
But a go-getter doesn't always win. That's all I have to say. A go-getter doesn't always win.
I feel like Scott's been out bowling like every night since we decided.
That's right. I'm an avid bowler.
Now he's practicing.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, and we'll report back on that. But that's the way it goes, right?
That's right.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. That's one vote for me. Clearly.
He voted for you.
He did vote for me.
He did? I mean, he said Scott's got my vote.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's on the table now. We have this big competitive thing coming up where you will lose badly.
But what happens if I win? Are you going to admit, like, okay, she's a good competitor? How are you going to lose?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't have, I'm not a sore loser.
Well, neither am I.
Okay. Whatever you say. Whatever you say. Are you getting messages over there? What's going on?
I did just look down and got a message because... I don't know if I should say this because she said, shh, but our third party, our Michelle, our sweet, sweet Michelle.
Is she taking shots at me?
It's not a shot, but she may or may not, like, sort of vote for me.
She would vote for you? After I've been so nice to Michelle over this time period?
But, like, she might message you, too. I don't know. Maybe she'll say, like, my vote's with you, Scott.
Oh, I feel sometimes I get left out in these loops.
It's not a loop. The thing is, you don't message.
No, I don't. I'm busy. I'm doing other things.
No, it's not that. Like, you have, like, you don't text. I think this is a problem.
Oh, but it's because you're female. I just got the word. She votes Abby, but it's because you're female. So I can understand that. That's what she said.
She just sticks with me?
I guess, because you're the female. She wants to be female friendly, I guess.
Okay.
So, this is flying. We're already at 42 minutes.
Oh my gosh, that was fast.
Well, we're not done.
Oh.
So relax. So this was something we were going to talk about, so we might as well get to this.
Okay.
Because Valentine's Day is coming up.
Yep.
So because we were having a conversation before we went on the air about relationships and should they work and should they not work and what should they be and what are the expectations. And so here's what I think. You want a houseplant and... Cadbury eggs.
Here's the thing. You asked if you had to get flowers and candy. I don't think that flowers and candy are necessarily like the go-to thing. I know it's kind of like the easy thing for Valentine's Day or what people think they should have. And I love flowers. I think they're really pretty. I think they're, you know, super nice to get and they make me smile, but then they die.
That's a circle of life.
It is. But then, like I said, it's kind of awkward. Like, how do you... get rid of these flowers. You don't want to throw them away, but clearly they're dead. You don't want dead flowers in your house. So when you asked about flowers, I mean, if I don't even know what I would say. I want it for Valentine's Day, but if it's, you know, supposed to be this lasting gift of love, maybe it shouldn't just be flowers that die in a second.
So you would really, on Valentine's Day, want a houseplant?
I didn't say it's what I wanted.
Yeah, you did.
No, you said if it was flowers and candy, what would it be? So if it was flowers and candy, I would choose a houseplant and a Cadbury egg. No. Why are you shaking your head no at me?
No. Those Cadbury eggs are awful.
Well, those are definitely
An acquired taste.
It's just a matter of opinion, which my opinion is probably right here, but that's just the way that it goes.
See, there's the competitive nature again. It's out again. But no, I think that because we have a male and a female opinion here, I think what happens is no man is going to go out and buy a houseplant and Cadbury eggs.
I 100% agree because it really takes some thought there.
No. Because what is going on is what people really want when they want flowers, and this is the truth, mm-hmm. they want the delivery man to show up because then all the coworkers see it. They want him to have some kind of flowers, nice, beautiful flowers that they can put on their desk in a vase and show to people over a period of time.
Did you just say vase?
That's how you say it. Am I supposed to say like Kentucky vase?
I didn't know you were so fancy.
Okay, vase.
Well, maybe that's it. I don't know. Like maybe some people are like that, and obviously it's nice to be like recognized and appreciated and, you know, loved at work. And
that's what people say. Oh, because, you know, everybody who comes in says, oh, you got flowers? Who are those from?
Of course. Right.
Yeah. You ain't going to get that with some houseplant.
It's a warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm not going to deny that. I've gotten flowers at work, and I think it's great. But I don't think all flowers are just for like the recognition.
But I think that's mostly what it is.
So if you were to send flowers, it's because you want this person, like, I want this person to know, and the people all around her to know that I'm the one who sent the flowers. Like, you want the recognition?
But I'm not there to see the recognition.
No, but, like, as a sender, they all know, oh, and then Scott sent her flowers. Like, you want to be that guy?
Well, it's not like I'm the only one. There's a large group of these people.
Of who? That send your girl flowers?
Mm-hmm. You don't get any flowers?
Sometimes, yes, but not a lot.
Are they houseplants?
No.
Now the truth comes out.
Right, okay.
So the point is, you don't even want the houseplant.
I would take the houseplant.
Have you relayed this to people in the past?
No, I don't ask people for, like, presents. I don't say, hey, but you get them anyway. Valentine's Day, get me a houseplant.
And I bet you're all, ooh, look at all these flowers that came, and you show all your coworkers, and...
I'm trying to think. Like, last year, I definitely didn't get flowers for Valentine's Day. It's probably been a few years.
What'd you get?
Well, nothing.
A black sweater.
I didn't get anything for Valentine's Day last year.
I'm just, not even Valentine's Day, really, in general here. I'm just saying, if you want to be nice and send somebody flowers, I think this is a nice gesture that you can do. And for some reason, this has become a guy thing. Guys don't get flowers at work from girls.
Right.
I think because flowers are probably considered to be a more feminine thing. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, I mean, I think that that's perfectly fine, but you don't want to send something that's goofy. You want to send the flowers that look nice and smell nice, and then people at their office will comment, and they'll say, who sent you those? And you tell them, and then the first thing, the people always go, aww.
Right, but because this is back to, like, the whole recognition. Like, this is all back to somebody needing to feel, like, recognized. If you're in a relationship and you're comfortable with it, I don't think you need to be like, oh, he sent me flowers.
I just learned. Now, this is a lot here.
Oh, no.
No, from Michelle. She just said she got 366 roses one day for Valentine's Day.
What?
1 year.
What?
360. Why 366?
Why 366? Maybe it was leap year.
this is leap year.
It is. But 366?
Man, that's a lot of work. That'll cost you some dough.
I do remember a very sweet story one time. I think it was in high school. And... the boyfriend had bought a dozen roses. And so every time one died, he gave her a new one so that she always had a new rose. So like every few days, he would bring another flower to replace. So she always had this bouquet. Now that is awfully sweet.
Well, how do you know that the roses are dying? Who keeps track of that?
Well, apparently he did. Like if he's over at the house and you see one's going to die, then he would just bring her a new one. That's very sweet. That's something I could get behind.
I don't know about that.
I think so.
But the whole point is your houseplant thing is very flawed.
I don't think it's flawed.
So, what do you think is the main problem between men and women in relationships?
Oh, God. That's a
loaded what we were
question.
Talking about before we went on.
I don't know what the main problem is, though. I mean, communication, probably, but, you know, you don't have that problem.
No.
Right, Scott?
No, I communicate perfectly.
He's a wide open book.
I'm an open book.
Oy.
No, I tell you, if you ask me a question, I would tell you.
No, not really, though.
What do you want to know?
I think there's a whole, you even said, like, there's a whole section of your life that is just, burn, done. I'm not going to talk about it, because I know you don't want to talk about it.
Well, there probably is, I'm not going to talk about, like, my personal life.
But we're talking about personal lives right now.
Are we?
Relationships?
No, next hour, we're going to talk about personal life.
Right.
But, no, I'm just saying that there are certain things that I'm not going to talk about in general, but if the right person asked me, I would probably talk about it. If I believe there was genuine interest on the other end, I might talk about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, probably.
How would you know if I was genuinely interested?
Well, that you know, that's what besties do, and
that's what I'm thinking.
They act like they care.
Well, of course they care.
And they don't call you bad names and all these sort of things.
Isn't necessarily a bad name, and that's really the only thing I think I've ever called you.
Well, I think that all people have certain things they don't want to talk about.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's what I think. When it comes to a relationship, there are certain things you just got to keep hidden. Not that they're bad things. I don't know that they're awful
things.
But
you think you need to keep a whole relationship status hidden. You know, you're not like just hiding certain aspects of the relationship. You want to hide the whole thing. Which
yes,
I think
yes.
really cause a problem.
Is that a problem with you?
I mean, just keeping it off Facebook probably wouldn't be a problem with me. But like altogether not ever recognizing publicly that you had another.
So you're saying
half.
If I had another,
I think it would
if
be
I had
thing.
another, I should make this public.
Well, I mean, maybe not right away, but I mean, if you're getting to the point where, like, you know, you're a couple of months in and clearly this person is sticking around, I think she might have a problem if you didn't, like, want to recognize.
You think
that
she'll have
there.
A problem?
She might. I don't know. Or maybe she doesn't care. Maybe she's cool with not being recognized,
uh-huh.
but I think at a certain point,
so
there's that expectation.
What if that happened with you? Now, would you get ticked if somebody was keeping you a secret?
If somebody, yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a secret.
So you would want that posted on Facebook, and you would want that all brought up everywhere.
Again, I don't think your relationship change or your status change on Facebook would be 100%. I don't think that's a make or break, but I definitely think that if I'm with someone who's just keeping me a secret, that's an issue.
But maybe it's just a secret because there are extenuating circumstances.
Like commitment issues?
Well, I don't know about commitment issues.
Oh, right.
What are commitment issues?
You don't know
issues?
Anything about commitment issues.
No,
Dad.
What are commitment issues?
I don't know. I think that's a whole different conversation.
Well, we got time to have that one. What are commitment issues? I don't really understand that.
Well, I mean, I think part
you
of
you think
making
I
it,
have commitment issues? That's what you did. You just directed that toward me.
I might have been a little bit directed at you, but I think that that's, I think not, I think keeping another person secret who is clearly a big part of your life would probably be like some sort of commitment issue, like at least a public commitment issue. I mean, if it's made public, then you're like really in. I mean, and I think that's your problem. Right?
That I don't want to be in?
You don't want everyone to know that you're completely in. Because then it's...
I don't know that I'm completely...
Actually,
I don't know
said,
that I'm completely
then there's
in.
A breakup, then it's like a public breakup, and then it's just bad, you
right,
know?
It could be a bad breakup.
Right. But I mean, like, isn't that... You're just not willing to take that chance at all. You'd rather just no one know ever that you have you're in a relationship.
Right.
Instead of risking... So you'd rather make her mad by just hiding her out and keeping her
secret? Why
does
she have to be mad?
Well, I don't think any girl's like, you know what, I'll be the secret for like the next 6 months. I don't know. I don't know if that's how it works.
Oh, that's good. I prefer when that happens.
Good luck.
I mean, I just think when somebody's a secret, then everybody's life can be a little easier.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who would agree with you.
And then if it comes smashing down, then you don't even have to address that. Because then some people will say, well, what happened? You know, as soon as your status changes back to single, ooh, then there's a whole thing. Well, what happened?
If it's on
what
Facebook
happened?
And things.
What
I mean,
happened? So where do you have to be public at?
I don't know. Are you just going to hide her out for the rest of your life? Like, I mean, like, or however long that is for the next 6 months?
I'm
going
to live for
6 months?
Have you talked to a doctor or something?
No, you know what I mean. This relationship.
Yeah, 6 months. That's about the duration.
That's what I know. You've said this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think you actually said like 6 weeks is what your analogy was.
It could be.
It's good for 6 weeks and then it's bad.
It may be shortening up as we speak. It may be getting less and less
I just don't know. I just don't know if like keeping someone a secret is ever the right idea.
Well, I think it's depending on the person. And you know what you're in for once you get into something like that.
You're right. A secret relationship can't be good.
Are you getting some kind of more messages over there?
I am getting messages, and I am, yes. And I just love Michelle for it.
What'd she say?
I'm not saying.
Why can't you say?
Well, because I don't think it would be appropriate for your
okay,
on-air
well, I'm gonna, I'll hear during the break.
You can hear today when we have our therapy session.
When we have our therapy session this afternoon. Mm-hmm. But no, listen, all I'm saying is I think it's okay to keep things a secret because... Why does the world have to know everything?
But I mean, does this include like keeping her a secret as far as like going out to dinner and, like, you know, like...
Yeah, if nobody sees you.
You see, exactly. I think that's a thing. You're just never going to take her on dates?
No.
For fear... No? No dates?
No, no. Private things.
So would you call it... Would you mask it and be like, we're going to have a party and we're going to go buy dinner?
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would say, we're going to have a party
and, so if anybody
and we're
going
to buy dinner.
Yeah, right. So if anybody sees you out, they can just be like... You're like, no, we're having a party.
Who needs all this trouble?
The trouble of dates?
Yeah. Who needs that? And then you got to work on Valentine's Day.
What's your ideal date, Scott? Just like chilling at
somebody
home?
Else who pays?
Somebody else, right.
Yeah, when somebody
that's
else pays.
That's called a party, apparently.
Yes, I call that a party.
That's a party.
Which is why you keep things masked. That's why you do that.
Oh, goodness. I don't
so
know.
So the point is, though, is that there's nothing wrong with this. All people who are listening who aren't talking about their relationships, you're not like a cyborg or anything. It's okay.
Okay. I just disagree. I just don't think that anyone would be...
Oh, there's a shocker.
Happy.
You
right,
disagree.
I disagree. I don't think it'd be. I don't think anyone would really be happy with like being someone's secret.
Okay.
I just
well,
don't.
I think you're wrong.
I hope you're right. I hope you find your secret. I don't know what else to say.
But what also is wrong with being unattached? See, some people feel that that's a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing.
I think being unattached is a great thing.
Right. If you're happy being unattached, I think it's fine. I don't think there's any problem with that.
That's right. All you really need is somebody there at the end to pull your plug.
We talked about that,
right.
Which is an interesting thing. I agree.
That's
I mean, I at the end of the day, I think there's...
You agree. Good. That's
I
all
do,
we need.
I do. I think you need... You're going to need that person, I guess.
Here is an interesting study. Researchers now say that when it comes to happiness in your life, that really when you mask it all down, it's either that you're born happy or you're not born happy. That really, you know, other things kind of factor in here and there, but it all comes down to you're either born that way or you're not born that way.
Really?
And you really never change.
So what were you?
Well, I was thinking about this today mm-hmm. when I read this article, because I heard about it coming in this morning, and then I read up on it when I got here, and I was trying to think, am I happy? Yes. Was I born that way? I can't remember.
Right. I definitely think I was born happy.
And then it all went downhill after that.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I'm kidding. Well, those are just decisions. You know? I think, I don't know if I would agree that you're born happy. I mean, or maybe you're just like a product of your circumstance.
So you don't think you're born happy?
Maybe.
I think you're born. You know a happy baby from an unhappy baby. Now, what makes that baby?
Oh, I do. I do.
And what makes that baby happy? And what makes the unhappy baby unhappy?
I think their environment and like the, you know, their caregivers and the... love that they receive as a baby. I don't know if that's a cool thought that maybe you were just born that way. I mean, I don't know why anybody would be born unhappy though.
Well, I think that's pessimism. You know, some people are glass half full, some people are glass half
so
empty.
Your babies are born like they're born pessimistic? They're born
that's
glass
the study.
Half empty? That's kind of strange, right?
Is that you're born that way.
Because what do they know, babies?
I don't know what they know. Hopefully something good.
I guess like just like hearing you when they're in the womb and they can tell. Maybe it's like when they're on the outside, people are happy around them.
I think it's probably just a positive mood.
Babies have like moods.
Yeah,
they're
like
born,
you can see the little baby that's like the Gerber baby that's laughing and
sure,
moving its hand.
Sure, but that's after
it's
out.
Right. Well, yeah, in the womb, I don't think you probably don't know in the womb. Yeah, you're born. Born is probably when you come out. I think that's probably what they're saying.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. I see that though, but I think your experiences when you're a baby probably shape your happiness
well,
for later in life.
Everybody has happy and sad moments in their life, but it's just saying on an essential day, are you generally a happy person or are you like a person who's fearful that bad things are going to happen? Are you that person who even when things are good is saying, well, something bad's about to happen? And that comes from birth.
Yeah, maybe.
You're either born that way. You're born happy or you're born sad.
Maybe. I think I was born happy, but I think everybody has those insecurities of, you know, something bad's going to happen.
It's like some people are born fearful, I think,
sure.
Also.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just walk around with a constant fear of doom and gloom.
Right.
And what's the worst that could really happen?
True.
I mean, as long as you have your friends and as long as you have a close-knit group of people who will always stick with you, mm-hmm. who are not fair-weather friends, is what they used to call that,
right.
Big deal. You'll get through it.
I agree.
Who doesn't get through it?
I agree. But I think these people that walk around with doom and gloom, maybe they've had circumstances that make them be like that, no?
I think you can have periods of doom and gloom.
Sure.
And also there are things in your life that can give you doom and gloom if it's constantly in your life.
Right.
If it's in your life every day, I think that can depress you for long periods of time.
Give you those insecurities.
Right. But I don't know that that makes you an unhappy person. I think because if you took that problem and plucked it out, you might generally be happy every day.
Right. So you think there's some people that just can't be happy, that just don't have it in them to be happy.
Oh, and I mean, you know people who live a long time who clearly are not happy.
I know, but I guess I always talk that up as something that's happened in their life that's made them, you know.
Is it?
Something
I don't
in
know.
Their life has made them be unhappy.
I don't know. I knew a lady one time who all her children, she had four children, died before her.
Oh, gosh.
And they died, like, in reciprocal order. Like, the youngest died at childbirth.
Oh, my.
Then one was killed at 16 in a motorcycle accident. And then the daughter died when she was almost 50 from a heart condition. And then the son died just over 50 from a staph infection.
Wow.
And she ended up living to be like 86, 87. And her husband died at 50 years during that period too. You know, he died of cancer. But when she grieved. Mm-hmm. She grieved them all. And I think she missed them till the day she died. But she was not an unhappy person. And how do you come back from that is what I always thought.
I have no idea.
But she did.
I
think it was always with her. Like, especially at the mm-hmm. holidays and birthdays and things like that.
Right.
But she did not let it define her life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That takes a really special person.
It's break time. We're coming back with Abby and a much more poignant part of this interview right after this short but important timeout.
More circumspect in how I deal with the public, but I just so loved that I drop all reserves.